Good morning. Let me ask you if you have a copy of God's Word to open up with me to the book of Acts again. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 16 again today. Acts chapter 16. While you are finding your place there, I mentioned at the first service, I'll say it again. I'm really thankful for every time we get to worship the Lord together as a faith family. It encourages me. It's a joy to sing God's praises with you. And really appreciated the songs today. It was some timely words of encouragement and some timely reminders of what I need in my life. And so I just want to challenge you. You know, I know as we enter the summer, everybody's kind of here and there and everywhere and lots going on, but just don't miss what God's doing here in our faith family. And so I encourage you just to continue to make it a priority to be here as much as you can on Sundays. While you're finding your place there, as you find your place, we're going to begin in verse 6 today. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Mother's Day, of course. We looked at Timothy's call and his mom's influence on his faith. And today we're going to pick up where we left off there in verse 6. I'm going to begin by reading verse 6 through 8, and then we will pause there and get the rest of the way as we go along. So follow along with me, if you would, as I begin reading in verse 6. Luke writes here under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he says that they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Would you pray with me this morning as we take a look at our passage of Scripture? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you speak. I thank you that you teach us exactly what we need for life and godliness. I thank you that you abide with us, that you never leave, you never forsake. And God, the truth that we need, the answers we need, the encouragement we need, the peace we need, God, it's all found in the truth of your word, which points us to Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the faithfulness that you display to us, and I pray, Father, that we would be faithful to you. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would remind us, God, of your goodness and your character and your sovereignty. Help us to walk today, God, in trust and in faith and obedience to your word. We ask all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've ever been around kids, you learn a very important word. And that word is the word no, right? As a parent, there are many times when your children ask you for something and you tell them no. Mom, can I have a cookie? No, right? Can I play in the road? No. Can I have a dog? No. Okay? Now, I will say, last night a dog showed up at our house. I had already planned this out. I was already going to say it, and a dog showed up at our house. So guess what I said? No, because I'm going to preach this sermon this morning, right? When God says no. And you know what? Whenever someone tells you no, it can be frustrating, right? Particularly if you're not, you know, you're not trying to be mischievous. You're not trying to do something inherently wrong. You just want something, and so you're asking for it. And when someone tells you no, you can get frustrated, you can get discouraged, you can start questioning things, maybe even you decide you're going to rebel and do your own thing because you don't like the answer no. But what happens is, whenever someone tells us no, if they care about us, they often have a reason, right? Can I have a cookie? No. Why? Well, because your mom's cooked supper tonight and I want you to enjoy the meal that she's prepared for you. Or, hey, can I play in the road? No, because we desire you to be safe and we don't want you to get hurt. Or, can I have a dog? Well, no, because I said so, right? And that's a good enough reason. But here's the thing. If you tell somebody that you love no, you've got a reason, right? And the reason is there's something better that you have in store, right? You can't eat this because we have this instead. You can't go here because this is better. And a lot of times in life, when people tell us no and we don't understand, if we hear that answer, it can give us encouragement and remind us of how those people who love us, how they truly care about us. And that's what we're going to see in today's passage of Scripture, because what we're going to find is the Apostle Paul wanted something. He desired something. He had a plan in mind, and he wanted to go a certain direction. And God looked at Paul multiple times and said, no. And I'm sure that Paul's frustrated, and I'm sure there are some questions. We're going to look at these things as we go along. But ultimately, here's what I want you to see. It's this big idea. It's very simple. It's in your notes. It's on the screen. God says no, so that he can give a better yes. God says no so that he can give a better yes. He doesn't just say no absent-mindedly or because he doesn't care for us. He's got something else in mind. And we're going to see that today as we follow the Apostle Paul as he continues on his missionary journey. So grab your notes, if you will. Follow along with me. I'm going to share with you three principles today about how we can discern the will of God and how we respond to his will, even if the answer is no. So those three points, here's the first one. Sometimes our plans may be good, but they may not be God's. Sometimes our plans may be good, but they may not be God's. We go back to verse 6. It says, when they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. All right, so these verses are important. They set the context for us in the timeline of where we've been in Acts. They also set the geography for us. I've mentioned to you before, as we go through Acts, there's a lot of places, particularly in this portion of the book, we're following these guys as they're traveling around a massive area around the Mediterranean Sea. So we need to know where we are. So today I'm going to show you several maps that hopefully will help you kind of track along with these guys and understand the context here. So let's look at the first one. This first map, I recognize if you're in the back, it may be hard to see this, but this is the Eastern Mediterranean. Antioch's on the far right side of the screen, that black dot with the white text. That's Antioch. That's where Paul and Silas left for Paul's second missionary journey. Remember, the gospel's been spreading. They had spread the gospel around in their first journey. Now on the second journey, they're going back to revisit some of the places, some of the churches they'd helped establish. They're encouraging the saints. So Paul and Silas leave Antioch, and they meander their way up to the town of Lystra. If you remember last week, we talked about Lystra because Lystra was where we met Timothy. Timothy's there, raised by his mother to know the Lord. God's hand was on Timothy, and Paul looked at Timothy and said, I think God has got a plan for your life. You need to join us in ministry and go with us on this journey. And so we talked about that last week, and so as we left off last week in Acts 16, verse 5, Paul, Silas, and Timothy leave Lystra, and they strike out on the road to continue the missionary journey. And that's where we come to today's text. We are told, first of all, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So look at the next map. So they leave Lystra, and they meander through the brown area of Galatia, and they get into Phrygia, right there below that red box. But as they're heading west, we don't know exactly where Paul's going. Presumably, he's going to Ephesus. That's where we think his plan was, to go to Ephesus, this major city, share the gospel there, establish a church. But along the way, what happened? The Spirit told him no. He's going to do a good thing. He's going to share Jesus. He's trying to get here, and God says, uh-uh, you can't go that way. So what do? Well, they can't go into Asia, into that orange blob that God said no. So what do? They strike out north. Look at the next map. It says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, so they went to Phrygia and Galatia, they went up north towards Bithynia. Bithynia is that pink box up at the top. And so they're heading up that way. Now, again, we don't know exactly where, but Byzantium or Constantinople, that major hub in that whole region is there. Paul's probably thinking, all right, if I can't go to Ephesus, I'm going to go up to Constantinople, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to try to share Jesus with the people there that are in Byzantium. But again, what does God do? God says, no. Look at verse 7. When they'd come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So for the second time, Paul's tried to go in a direction to share Jesus, and God says, no, don't go that way. All right, well, what does he do now? Well, the next verse says, verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Look at the next map. So they leave from there and can't go north anymore, so what do? Well, I guess let's head over to the coast. And Paul and Silas and Timothy make their way over to the coastal city of Troas. Now, you stop right here, and I want you to look at that red squiggly line, if you can see it, right? It's not a straight line. And it doesn't go one direction. We're going here, and then we're going here, then we're going here, then we're going here. And meanwhile, you see those big red boxes that say the word, no. Let's go here. No. Let's go here. No. And if I'm Paul, I'm sitting here saying, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, I'm trying to go. I'm trying to share the gospel. I'm trying to reach these people, and you're not letting me go where I want to go. I imagine that Paul probably had some frustration. Have you ever had that happen in your life? You know, if you're like me, I'm a planner, I'm a destination kind of guy, let's get there, don't stop along the way, that kind of guy. Can anybody relate to that? Okay. Well, have you ever been driving along and maybe you have your plan in mind and all of a sudden there's a traffic jam and you've got to go around it, right? It's like, oh, I can't get where I'm going. Or maybe somebody has the audacity to close a road and keep you from getting where you need to go to, right? If you don't laugh, you'll cry, right? So here's the thing. It can be frustrating. It can be frustrating to have a destination in mind and for some reason you're preventing from going there. But it may be even more frustrating if you have a goal in mind, a plan in mind, a God-honoring desire in mind, and you are asking God for it, and you're praying for it, and you're moving towards it, and God says, no. I'm not going to answer that prayer the way that you're asking it. I'm not going to let you go that direction. I'm not going to give you this thing that you want. It can be a frustrating thing to be told no by God, particularly if what you're asking for is a good thing, much like what Paul was asking for. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Have you ever asked God for something and the answer was no, or you had a plan and God shut it down? One instance came to my mind as I was preparing this week. When I was getting ready to graduate from college, I knew what I was called to do. I knew I was called to ministry. I'd already been engaged in ministry, and I had my plan. My plan was I was going to do 4 years of college, then I was going to go to seminary and do my 4 years of seminary and then jump into the ministry. That was my plan. But it became increasingly clear as I was approaching my graduation date that God was telling me, no, that's not my plan for you. I don't want you to move to New Orleans. I don't want you to go to seminary yet. I want you to stay right where you are. And it didn't make sense to me because I had my plan, and it was a good plan, right? That's what people do if they're called to ministry. But God just kept telling me no. So I stayed. And I stayed in LaGrange another year, ultimately came down here and served as youth minister here. And even while I was here as youth minister, got married and started a family, I still had that desire. God, I want to do my seminary studies. I want to go to campus. I want to be around the campus there, the professors and all that. And Leanna and I even went and visited the seminaries, putting ourselves in a place of saying, God, we're willing to go if you want us to go. And God kept saying, no. So I did seminary. I just did it the hard way, right? Online classes and distance learning and driving from here, there, and everywhere, taking night classes and whatnot. But it was what God had in mind. And when I look back, still, it would have been easier to go to campus, right? But God had a plan, and that plan was for me to be here and to start a family here and engage in ministry here. And I am here today because this was God's plan for my life, because he told me no. Now, I'm not going to say that I have all the answers figured out or that I wouldn't have done things differently on my own. But here's what I learned in that moment. Just because I have a good desire and a good plan, it doesn't mean it's God's. Because here's the thing, just because your plan is not bad, it doesn't mean it's the best. It doesn't mean it's what God has in store for you. Paul's plan was really good, to try to get to Ephesus, to try to get to Byzantium. But God says, that's not my plan for you right now, Paul. So he tells him, no. It reminds me of this verse in Proverbs. If you've been coming on Thursdays, our men have been walking through Proverbs at lunch on Thursdays. We've been studying through these verses, and one we looked at even just a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Hey guys, you can have your plan, but it's the Lord's plan that is sovereign. It's the Lord's plan that is supreme, and we've got to yield our plan to his, especially when he says no. But there's one more thing I want to notice here, or want you to notice before we move on to the next point. What did Paul do when God told him no? When God told Paul no, hey, God, I want to go to Asia, no. I want to go to Bithynia, no. What did Paul do? Well, what he didn't do was he didn't stomp his foot and cross his arms and poke his lip out. He didn't throw in the towel and quit and give up and say, well, fine, God, I'm just going to go back home. What did he do? He said, okay, and he took the next step. He didn't exactly know where he was going. But he said, all right, we're going to redirect, and I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to try to go here. Nope, okay, I guess I'm going to try to go here. He kept on taking the next step, and that's the key. Because when God tells us no, even if our plans are good, they're not God's. All right, God, what is your plan? Even if I don't know it yet, help me to keep walking with you, even when I don't know what the plan is. I put this thought there in your notes. I've shared this with you before. It's something that my college minister shared with me back when I was in LaGrange. He said this. He says, if you walk with the Lord day by day, he will not let you miss his will along the way. And Paul operated by that. He didn't know the big picture, but he says, God, if I can't go this way, I'm going to keep walking with you, and you're going to show me exactly where you want me to go. Just because your plans are good doesn't mean they're God's. Keep walking with him, even if he tells you no. But that leads to a question of how are we supposed to know where we're supposed to go, right? Well, our next point addresses that. Number two, sometimes God reveals his direction, but he may not reveal the details. Sometimes God reveals his direction, but he may not reveal the details. We pick up in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. All right, let's go back to our map for a moment. So Paul and Silas and Timothy are there in Troas, right? They didn't intend to go there, but that's where they ended up in their meandering path because God told them no. So while they are in Troas, this coastal city, Paul goes to bed one night, and we are told he has a dream. And in this dream, a man from Macedonia appears to him and says, "Please come and help us." Now, Macedonia, if you look at the map, the top left corner, that pink blob, that's Macedonia. Geographically, it's the nation of Greece, okay? It would have been the Greek kingdom that had been taken over by the Roman Empire. They renamed it Macedonia after the man named Macedon. So anyway, in Macedonia, there are people there, and this man appears to Paul in this dream and says, "Come and help us." So Paul wakes up, and he says, "Well, I had a dream. I guess we need to go over to Macedonia." Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a strange dream, and you wondered what it meant? You're like, "God, are you trying to speak to me? Is there a sign that you're trying to give me?" My wife had a really crazy dream a few days ago. I'm not going to share it with you. It was like a nightmare. But I had a dream a couple of weeks ago. Y'all know our mission partners, the Gervasios. You remember them? They came and shared with us. They were with us. They're in Paris, France, sharing the gospel, planting churches, and just so thankful for them. Well, I had a dream about them the other night. And I had a dream that I went to Paris, and I teamed up with the Gervasio family, and we solved an international conspiracy together. That was my dream. So what does that dream mean? Probably that I had too much pizza that night, right? That's probably what that dream meant. But here's the thing. God can speak through dreams. We see it in Scripture, obviously. I mean, there are people today that God reveals himself through dreams. I would say it's not the primary means that God speaks through, but he can speak through any means that he wants. And so here's Paul. Paul has this dream, and Paul wakes up, and Paul knows that wasn't too much pizza. That was God. God was telling me something. God was telling me that I need to go to Macedonia. So he gets up, and he grabs Silas, and he grabs Timothy, and he says, "Guys, I don't know why, but I know where we're going. We're going to Macedonia because I had this vision from God." So that's what they do. They get ready to go to Macedonia. But I want you to notice something. When God gave Paul the dream, there's this man from Macedonia who gives him one sentence: "Come and help us." He doesn't say exactly where. He doesn't say whom. He doesn't give him any details. There's no itinerary. There's nothing. It's just go in this direction. He gives him the direction, but he doesn't give him any details. Well, what does Paul do? Paul says, "Good enough for me." And he goes in that direction. Verse 10, when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they go. By the way, did you notice the shift in point of view there? We go from talking about Paul in the third person to talking about him in the first person. It's because Luke, the guy who writes down Acts, he joins Paul at Troas, and he joins the company there. So now we got four: Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. They get on the boat, and they're about to head to Macedonia. But before we follow them there and see what's in store, I just want to hit this point. Paul went without knowing the details. And sometimes, guys, God calls us to be obedient even when we may not know the details. You see that on the screen. When God says go, we go, even if we don't have all the answers to our questions. And this is not just something that I put on a Bible, on a slide on a screen for you to see or put in your notes because it sounded catchy. This is what God calls us to do, and it's something that I have lived, and so have you if you followed Jesus long enough. The greatest example in our life is a story that you know well. A few years ago, Leanne and I felt like God was calling us to trust and obey, trust him with our family. We had four kids, that was enough for us, but we felt like God was calling us to trust him with more. We knew the direction, we did not know the details, okay? We did not know there would be two details, okay? We didn't know all the details that would come with the physical challenges they had. We didn't know the details of thousands of diapers and tantrums and everything else that goes along with raising two-year-old twins. But we knew the direction. And so what did we do? We had to trust God and We just had to obey. And sometimes God gives us direction without filling in all the blanks. And the question for us is that enough for us? Or are we going to sit there until God has it all or lays out the whole plan so we've got it all figured out? The verse that encouraged me and Leanna, I've shared this with you. It's a verse you know well. It's very popular. But this verse was our linchpin in those times. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Not to trust him when he tells you everything, but to trust him even when he doesn't. To trust his plan over your own plan. Even when you don't have it all figured out, don't lean on your own understanding. Walk with God, and he'll get you where he wants you to go. Sometimes your plans may be good, but they may not be God's. Sometimes God may give you direction, but he may not reveal all the details to you. But there's one more principle I see in this passage about knowing and following God's will. Number three, sometimes we just see the immediate, but God is working toward the ultimate. Sometimes we just see the immediate, but God is working toward the ultimate. Why does God call Paul to go to Macedonia? Why does God tell him, no, you can't go those other directions? Now we find the answer. Verse 11. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. All right, one more map for you, just to kind of get us where we need to go. All right, so top of the screen, Troas, right there in the middle. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke get on a boat, and they cross the Aegean Sea. They pass the little island of Samothrace, and they land at the coastal city of Neapolis. When they get there, they go inland about 10 miles to the city of Philippi. Philippi, we are told in this passage by Luke, Philippi was a major city there, as a big hub, and it was a Roman colony. So it was a kind of a newer established city by the Roman government. And so Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they get there. And when they get there, remember, they knew they were supposed to go to Macedonia, but they didn't know exactly where in Macedonia. They didn't know who they were supposed to talk to. They didn't know the schedule, none of that. They just knew, all right, we're at least in the right vicinity. So what happens next? Look at verse 13. So on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. All right, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, they're in Philippi. All right, God, we're in Macedonia. What do we do now? We're told they stay there a few days. They don't know what to do. They're just kind of figuring out the lay of the land, checking out Philippi. Well, the Sabbath rolls around, and so Paul does what he always does on the Sabbath. He tries to find people who are worshiping so that he can go and point them to Jesus. Typically, he would go to the synagogue first, a place where the Jews would gather to read scripture and to pray. But as he asks around, there's no synagogue in Philippi, so he does the next best thing. He says, "Well, can you tell me where religious people gather to do religious things?" And he's told, "Hey, down by the riverside, there are some people who meet there to pray and worship." So the band heads down there, the foursome, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. They go down to the riverside. And when they get there, they encounter a group of women. We don't know all the details there, but we know one of them is named Lydia. Lydia was a foreigner. She was not from there. She was from the town of Thyatira. We are told that she was a seller of purple cloth, meaning that she would have been in the textile trade, if you will. And purple cloth was very expensive. It required a lot of specialized dyes that were come from, you know, rare animals. And it was very expensive. It was very exclusive to royalty. So she was probably a woman of means. She probably had some money. So there she is. And we are told that she's a worshiper of God, not in that she knew Jesus, but in that she believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, that he was the one true God, but that's all that she knew. So there she is down by the riverside, and here's Paul and his band. They show up, and Paul says, "Well, hey, y'all seem religious, and you're praying. We'd love to have a spiritual conversation with you." And so they do, and they share the gospel with these ladies. And as Lydia hears the gospel, we are told that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. In other words, she heard the gospel and she believed it and received it and accepted it, and she was saved. But it didn't stop there, because then she got her family together and her household gathered together, and they were saved and they were baptized. But it doesn't stop there, because as you keep reading in Acts, we're going to see this in the next couple of weeks as we hang out in Philippi for a little while. Guess what Lydia does? At the end of our passage, Lydia says, "Hey, y'all come to my house. If you believe I'm a faithful believer of Jesus, come to my house and stay with me. Don't stay in the hotel, we'll just use that word. Don't stay there. Come stay with me and hang out with me. All you and all your buddies can live with my family for a while." And that's what they do. And we are told, as we get later on in Acts 16, that it's Lydia's house that becomes the birthplace for the church in Philippi. That's where they met. That's where they gathered, was there in Lydia's home. And so you zoom out, and here's what we see. Paul had no plans to go to the Philippian riverside and have a conversation with a textile lady, okay? When he left Antioch, he didn't know that was on the radar. When he left Troas, he didn't know that was on the radar. But God put him there, right? As he followed the Lord day by day, step by step, God put him exactly where he wanted him. He didn't have all the details. God had told him no. But he ends up where God wants him, because God had been working all this together. It's amazing to me that in Paul's vision, there was a Macedonian man who appealed for help, but God really had a Philippian woman in mind that he wanted Paul to go and meet and share Jesus with. And as a result, the church in Philippi is born. I want to share with you, when you flip over to the right a few pages to the letter of to the Philippians that Paul would later write, here's what he had to say about this church. Philippians 1, verse 1. "To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." So that church that was established, that met in Lydia's home with her family, that church becomes a gospel witness and a gospel influence and an encouragement to Paul, and they share Jesus and they have an incredible ministry, and it all happened because Paul simply yielded to God's will rather than stubbornly doing what he wanted to do. Why? Because Paul trusted God, and he trusted that God knew more than he did. And even when the plan didn't make sense, Paul kept being faithful. Put a little reminder there in your notes. God always knows what he's doing, even when we don't. I'm the kind of guy who likes to know the plan. And it's really hard for people like us who want to know a plan to walk in faith when we don't see how it's all going to work. But here's what I'm reminded of. This verse that I'm sure you know, this verse. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. We take it out of context a lot, but it's still true even out of context. Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholeness and not for evil," the ESV says, "to give you a future and a hope," or "plans to prosper you and not to harm you." God's plans are always good plans. We just have to surrender to them. They may not be easy plans. They may not be convenient plans. They may not be plans that you like or want to follow. But his plans are always good, because God's always working towards the ultimate goal of your good and his glory. So the question is, how do we respond to that? I would encourage you to start with that simple big idea. Sometimes God says no so that he can give a better yes. He told Paul no a lot, but he had something even bigger and better in mind, and his perfect plan unfolds as we keep reading Acts. Now here's the challenge for us. We don't have our story written out in the next few pages of a book, right? We know the end of the story. Our choir reminds us of that. The end of the story is heaven. The end of the story is glorification with Jesus. We know where we're going. But the in-between is the part that's foggy on the map, right? God, what direction? Where am I going? What am I doing? We might get frustrated. You're probably going to have some questions. But my hope and prayer is that God would grow our faith to walk in obedience to him, even when we don't have it all figured out. So how do we respond to a message like this? There's a variety of situations I can foresee. Maybe there's somebody here today who you're in a situation where you're trying to make a decision, or maybe you're praying about something and you're asking God for something, and you just feel like God's just shutting the door in your face. Maybe he keeps telling you no, and maybe it's hard. Maybe you're asking him for something, praying for a miracle. Maybe you're wanting to serve him some way and you just don't see the doors opening up the way that you feel like they should. What do you do? Trust him. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's pleasurable, but I am telling you it's worth it. And so maybe today you just need to be reminded that God knows more than you do. And today just surrender willingly to him and ask him to give you the faith to walk with him even if you don't understand. But another thing that I can see is maybe you're here today and maybe God's been telling you no and you've been doing it anyway. Maybe you've been walking in sin and rebellion against God's plan. Maybe he's told you no and you've taken that step because you just figured that that's the best thing for you. Your call today is to repent, to not go your own direction, not resisting him, but yielding to his will. Or then maybe today, you know what, maybe there's somebody here like the ladies at the riverside. Maybe you're like Lydia. Maybe you believe in God and you really are curious about him, but you've never been introduced to Jesus. Today, I'd love to be like Paul to you and share with you how Jesus is the way of salvation and how he can give you forgiveness of sins if you put your faith in him. Maybe today you need to get saved, and who knows what God has in store for you if you make the choice to follow him. You know, God sometimes says no, but I promise you this, if you repent and put your faith in him today, he'll say yes. If you ask to be saved, the answer is yes, if you'll put your faith in Christ. So I don't know what your call is today to be obedient to the Lord, but I believe he's leading us all to something. And so whether it's a yes or a no, may we surrender to the Lord's will today and be obedient to what he calls us to do. Let's pray and let's ask him right now. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're trustworthy. I thank you that you know more than I do. And Father, I ask for forgiveness for the times when I've acted like I know more than you. I pray, Lord, for our church, that God, you would lead us in every step. God, that even if we feel like it's a certain direction that we need to go, God, and you shut the door, we say, okay, Lord, your will be done. Help us to walk with you. I pray that we would walk in faith, even when we don't see how all the pieces fit or know the next step, God, that we would walk with you. And I pray, God, that as we do, you would receive great glory and that you would do great things. Father, if there's an individual here today who's frustrated or discouraged because they feel like their prayers aren't being answered or you're not letting them do what they feel called to do, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them today and give them peace and help them to trust you. God, if there's someone who needs to repent, may today be the day that they turn aside from wandering and get on your path. And God, for the non-believer here, may they have a Lydia moment where they find out how good you are. But right now, Lord, would you help us to respond as you lead us? And I ask all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.